Preview.
Coach Rudd, couple trades.
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
Yes,
what do you think? Marte, we got Jesus Luzardo, who's basically a AAA guy who's had some success.
Scouting source tells me he's always liked him out of Stoneman Douglas High School.
Yep.
Drafted by the Nats in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Good arm. Was throwing up to 99 when he signed. He's a consistent 96, and he's a lefty.
Does he go straight to Jacksonville, you think?
I don't know. That's a very good question. He could start, and with the situation with our starters, you know, we didn't get it out of Holloway last night. Who knows? They might bring him up right away. He pitched on Sunday.
Yeah. Nothing worse than losing a game in a walk-off.
Well, once again, where was Bender?
Yep.
You know.
And we were up 5-0 in that game and had a couple opportunities to finish them off and couldn't do it. And then the other trade, a guy I'm super happy to see gone because I've seen him blow several saves this year that we were – games that we should have won is Yimi Garcia. And in return, we get Brian De La Cruz and Austin, who's a right fielder, could be any place in the outfield, but then also Austin Pruitt, who's kind of swingman type pitcher, middle reliever type guy.
Yeah, so. De La Cruz was having a real good year in AAA for the Stros organization.
Yeah, Sugarland Skeeters is that team.
Right. But let me say this. Excuse me. I recommended on my trade list both Marte and Yimi to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Bass is another one. And who knows, perhaps Anderson.
Right.
But we have till tomorrow at midnight.
That's right. And I think, you know, I did read something about the Braves were coming after Duvall, and those talks kind of broke down because they didn't want to trade anybody in the same division. I don't know that bringing in Brian De La Cruz, who is also a right fielder, makes it any more likely that Duvall gets traded. I hope he doesn't. Let him stick around another year and help some of these young guys get better, and then we'll see what happens.
I'm not in favor of trading Duvall.
Yeah.
Too much in the department of run production.
Right.
Like him an awful lot.
Yeah. And Donna, my girlfriend, loves him. So.
Okay. Yeah. So let's keep him.
Let's keep him just for that reason alone.
But he does have a cute wife and child.
He does.
I saw them waiting outside the clubhouse Saturday night.
Right. I think I was saying that more as she's a fan of baseball more than anything.
Great. She picked a good one.
Yep. And now tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., you're going to have to get up early because it's USA versus Israel baseball.
Right. I intend to order in a kosher breakfast for that.
Is that process? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
It's probably, I would imagine, this is their first Olympic appearance. They've been in a bunch of Pan American games and international play, and they've got a couple decent players on the team, but I have a feeling that we're going to give them a beating.
We have basically a AAA lineup, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I recognize a couple names, as you do. Three pitchers that have been around the block, Edwin Jackson, Scott Kazmir, and Nick Martinez, the kid from Miami, from Berlin and Fordham. So,
but we got our own Marlin, Eddie Alvarez. Now a two different types of Olympic competitor, competed in the Olympics in the Winter Games in speed skating, won a silver medal. Now comes back in the Summer Games a few years later and going for the gold for Team USA.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, pretty
and
good.
And Tim Fedorowicz,
yep,
who's caught in the bigs. And, of course, the straw that stirs the drink, Todd Frazier,
yep,
who himself played on a Little League World Series
championship team.
And a Connecticut club, right?
And a multiple All-Star, too. Multiple-year All-Star. And the guy that's a skipper, Mike Socha, who won a World Series with the Angels. Funny story about that. I was at Game 5 against the Giants at the Big A. And this is the same year that Barry Bonds hit 81 homers. And the Angels had this closer. They called him the mailman, Troy Percival. The guy threw 100, 101 consistently. Didn't have a whole lot of pitches beside the fastball, but hard to hit. And so it's Bonds versus Percival, the showdown. Bonds blasts one into right field, goes in through the tunnel, the little that goes out to the concourse. The whole entire place is screaming, throw it back, throw it back. Now, this is got to be a $100,000 baseball because it's Barry Bonds' 82nd home run. But lo and behold, some joker that got the ball that came down, ran out to the edge of the field and tossed that thing, and the place went berserk. And they ended up winning that game in that series. So that's Mike Socha running that team, running that club. And I feel pretty confident that
he's got a great bench coach in Jerry Weinstein, ex-UM assistant, who Brad Kelly and I replaced in 85 with the Canes when he went home to California. Jerry's a great baseball man. And they've got a Miami guy as the bullpen coach, Rolly DeArmas.
All right.
He's been around. And former major league pitching coach, Dave Wallace. So I'm sure they'll be well prepared. We wish them luck.
Yep. And then they come back again Saturday and play against South Korea. So you got to win the Team USA baseball. And hopefully they win those two games and go to the next bracket.
Yes, sir.
All right. You've got something you want to talk about Spartanburg.
Yeah, before I get into that, I just want to mention that being here, I represent the Miami Baseball Forum, which is a group that I chair that was founded in 1995 at Red Berry's Baseball World, a group of ex-scouts, coaches, fans, people that believe that baseball is our national pastime, and people that meet for the love of America's game. And we are reconnecting for our monthly first Wednesday of the month luncheons at Duffy's Sports Bar, which is on 85th and 124th Avenue, right off of North Kendall Drive, next to LA Fitness. And anybody that would like to get on our list of emails can send it to berries11@comcast.net. berries11@comcast.net. We'll put you on the mailing list, and we have guests every first Wednesday of every month. Thank you very much.
Oh, so that's September 1, is that
September 1.
All right.
Yes, sir. We've been out because of COVID. We've been on the IL because of COVID, but we're meeting and hope you can come.
And we're going to film a live show from there, from the venue that everybody's going to get to see. And we're going to get to meet some of the coaches and scouts that come to these events and have a great time.
So right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we're going to crank up a little bit now. I'm going to talk about being a minor league general manager in the Phillies organization in 1970.
Year I was born, by the way, Coach.
All right, Tommy. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to make you feel old.
I don't feel old. You know, my daughter said to me today, my daughter Shannon, she said, "Good luck, Dad, on the podcast today." And I said, like Mr. Branch Rickey said, the definition of luck is the residue of design. So here we go. I already told you that the Phillies hired me in the fall of 69 from Coral Park High School, where I was the baseball coach, the first baseball coach there, and when it opened in 63, and I taught U.S. history, and they hired to be the general manager of their Spartanburg Farm Club in the Western Carolinas League. It was quite an experience for me. I had to deal with many, many situations. My actual debut was a major league exhibition game in late March between my parent Philadelphia Phillies and the Baltimore Orioles, champions of the American League in 69. And I had to meet the plane, the Orioles plane, and Brooks Robinson got off, first one off. And, of course, they had Frank Robinson and Boo Powell, Belanger, Etchebarren, Jim Palmer, Cuellar, Flanagan. I mean, they were loaded. Paul Blair, Earl Weaver was the manager. And that was my debut. It was a wonderful day. On leaving the ballpark after the game, Tim McCarver happened to be wearing the same jacket as the Red Dog. It was a checked orange and green Miami jacket. And I said, and Tim was a catcher for the Phillies. I said, "Tim, nice jacket." He said, "Yeah, but mine's more expensive."
Imagine that.
I said, righto. But anyway, Spartanburg, let me tell you a little bit about their history. You heard of Pat Williams, who became the GM of the Orlando Magic.
Right.
Great promoter. Adopted 17 kids with his wife. Wrote many books. Well, he set attendance records at Spartanburg through 68. Well, I didn't follow him. I followed a guy named Jim Mills that took the franchise from the penthouse to the outhouse. And they hired me to get it back. And let me tell you about a minor league GM. A minor league GM does everything from order toilet paper to fire, release players, sign players. He does everything. Now, his job is to sell and organize the program that's sold, right. All the advertising that goes into the program, fence signs around mm-hmm. the ballpark, Duncan Park, to sell them, season ticket sales, which involves going to service club luncheons, to diners, for the Lions Club, the Rotary Club.
American Legion.
American Legion. Baboons, and eating that fried chicken. And I got up to 235 pounds in
That's big.
Spartanburg, talking at those luncheons and all. And you got to hire ticket takers and groundskeepers, and you have to organize stadium promotions. And I remember one night I had a hamster giveaway. We're giving away 50 hamsters, and they were picked up in individual boxes. And when I went down to get them in this big cart, they were all deceased.
The boxes, all 50 of them?
All 50 of them that were suffocated in their boxes. I mean, they were comatose.
Imagine a little girl opening that box,
hey,
finding a dead hamster.
I had to give out game tickets or some kind of blarney when they all passed
away. Who was at fault for the not realizing the hamsters needed air holes?
I think it was the pet store. You know, I don't know if we got any. You know, and then you heard of Max Patkin.
Sure.
The clown prince of baseball. Great guy. He was in the movie. What was the great movie with the redhead that in North Carolina? She was a fan, more than a fan.
Bull Durham?
pulled her up. She was more than a fan.
Yep. Susan Sarandon. That's Tim right. Robbins, who ended up marrying her later on.
Really?
Yeah, in real life.
Never knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Great. She had him wearing lingerie under his uniform so it'd take his mind off worrying about pitching. He was more worried about scratching the straps that underneath his pants.
Well, anyway, I have a fire Max Patkin.
Uh-oh.
I didn't rehire him because the longtime secretary that I inherited, named Claire Johns, who was some piece of work, she told me, "We've had Max for 10 straight years. People are tired of him." So me being a rookie GM on the phone with Max Patkin, I had to say, "I'm sorry, Max. We can't use you this year. Come on, Red, I'll be in the area. I'm sorry, Max." And it kind of broke my heart. But see, with this secretary, she knew all the ins and outs of politics in the area. She knew who the good guys were, according to her, who the bad guys were, who the two ex-owners of the club. See, the club now was owned by the parent club, Philadelphia. But before, it was owned by an oil man named Leo Hughes, rich oil man, and J.R. Littlejohn, who the Coliseum at Clemson is named after.
Oh, wow.
Littlejohn Carroll Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And I had to go meet these guys, and I had to schmooze them, see?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, R.J. Littlejohn sat in the first row of the First Baptist Church. I mean, he was Spartanburg.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a Jewish boy who didn't come to Jesus until 1955. I mean, this was 1970. So I don't think he took to me really good. But anyway, I was an outsider hired by the Phillies. So you had all of these politics situations going on. Who to schmooze, who not to schmooze, who to stay away from, who to have lunch with, who not to have lunch with. There was a lot of intrigue, and I did everything. I drove the bus when the bus driver had the yips. I subbed in the radio booth when the radio announcer had the trots. And one night, I think I might have mentioned this to you, I'm in the press box announcing, and I said to the technician, "Is it raining?" He says, "Let me look out." He looked out. He says, "No, there's a guy taking a whiz on the side of the press box. It's not raining." And I even wrote the front page editorial one day in the Spartanburg Herald Journal. Seymour Rosenberg, the editor, was going on vacation. He asked me to write the article. So I wrote it.
Right.
My picture on the front. I bailed players out of jail. In the middle of the night, I was called. I had to go into the jail and bail out guys like Mike Wallace, the bonus baby pitcher.
What were some of the offenses these guys? Just drunk and fighting and stuff like that?
Disorderly conduct.
Normal baseball stuff.
Normal baseball stuff. Fist fights in these drinking holes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we had a bad ball club. We had a second division club out of six clubs. And we had a manager with a hair trigger temper. And wasn't much player development going on. It was killing me being in the front office. I wish I was in the uni, you know, coaching, but I wasn't. And so you had to do all of these things. And but the people were nice. Spartanburg was a nice town. It was in the South, in South Carolina. It was a big change for me. People would say hello on the street, and they would say, "Do you doing all right?" And they really cared about you. It's nice, not like this town where you let people drive and pull in and they don't wave and say thank you.
Right.
People really cared about you. And I remember my groundskeeper, Boyd Keller, he said to me one day, and he was 70 years old, he says, "Mr. Barry, let me carry you up to the press box." I said, "Boyd, if you carry me up, you're going to get a hernia." He said, "No, let me take you up." See, there was a lingo in the South, carry you up. And then I go in the drugstore, Spartanburg drugstore on Pine Tree Drive. And Johnny behind the counter says, "I bought a couple things. You want a poke?" And I said, "Wait a minute. What's going on with this guy? Is he going to belt me?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "A bag." That was a poke.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I also didn't know that you don't serve hot dogs in the Piedmont without chili on them.
That's right.
They're all chili dogs. So one day I'm looking around the ballpark in midseason. I see Hardy bags, Burger King bags, after the game, McDonald's. I said, "What the heck is going on?" So we leased the concessions to a guy, John Pantsaloukas, who owned a Greek restaurant in Sparty where my players used to eat lunch, dinner sometimes. And John Dominguez, a pitcher, all he knew how to say in English was spaghetti. He ate that for a month at John's restaurant. He didn't know how to order anything else. Anyway, I go in before a game to the concession stand, and I see John's got a huge tray of chili, and he's scraping off mold from the top. And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "The chili's good." He says, "The mold is normal. It'll flavor it. You just scrape it off and you use the chili." And I said to myself, "Paul Lees, this guy's got to go. No wonder they're not buying my food."
Right. He's selling moldy chili.
So I fired him. And then one night, and I'm getting to a couple of real super end stories. There's confusion before a game. And I'm wearing a sport jacket like I wore every night because I'm a spiffy guy from Miami who watched Miami Vice. And I see my groundskeeper, one of them, who's a World War II veteran, a tall guy named Slim, who was watering the field with a huge fire hose, is wrapped around the hose like a python is get him. And he's struggling to get loose. And the hose is going all over the park. And the fans are laughing. And I run down in my sports coat to try to unravel this guy from this python hose.
Right.
The water's pouring against my glasses, in my face, in my mouth. And I'm unraveling him. And I'm getting soaking wet. And the fans are loving it. Then, in our ballpark, we had the prettiest ladies' room in minor league baseball. It was known coast to coast. It had pink wallpaper. It had a maid sitting on a lovely couch outside in a nice uniform to take care of the ladies. It was beautiful. It was the nicest park of the park, which was really had a dump, a leaky visiting clubhouse, an umpire's room upstairs that could collapse with the umpire at any time, wood. And the visitor's clubhouse would have 4 inches of water if it rained in it. But this ladies' room, wow. So one night during the game, the maid runs into my office. She said, "Mr. Berry, we have a real problem in the ladies' room. The sink is stuffed." So I go out, and there's a long line of ladies that need to go to the Louvre.
Right.
And they can't go in. So I go in with my sports coat and the hanger, and I straighten it out. And I start reaming this sink out of gook. And I look in the mirror and I say, Red Dog, what are you doing here? You're a baseball coach. You're a camp owner of kids. You're a U.S. history teacher. You have a master's degree. You can teach driver's ed. You can teach economic geography. You can teach different courses, okay? What are you doing here? And that was the final straw. I walked out of the ladies' room, and I said, ladies, the sink is now flowing, and they clapped. And I went back to my office to towel off. But it was a wonderful experience, you know? I mean, I learned that on a minor league ball club, you may have 20, 25 players, but only one or two are going to make the big league.
That's right.
For instance, we had a catcher, Jim Essien, tough kid out of Detroit, that played in the bigs with the White Sox. In fact, he managed them for a year or two. We had a lefty bonus baby, the one I bailed out of jail, Mike Wallace, that had a couple of cup of coffees with the parent club. And, you know, it was an interesting thing because I didn't know about spreadsheets. I didn't know about business. They flew me to Philly. One day, Dallas Green meets me in the snow at the airport in a little Renault 4CV, big guy, 6'4". And we go to Connie Mack Stadium. I have the privilege of using the same toilet as Connie Mack. I took a you-know-what on it, Connie Mack and me, and they're briefing me on spreadsheets and all of this stuff and all of this and how to do this and that. They took me to a German restaurant for lunch, back to more business stuff. My head is flowing. And then I fly back to Sparty. So, hey, good experience. Skip Bertman said, Red Dog, you had the courage to take a wife and two kids and leave Miami to go up to Spartanburg. That's what gave me the courage to go to LSU and take my family. He saw that I had the guts to do it, and he did it too. So life, what is education? Education is the sum total of life's experience. I think that was said by Dr. Doom or something.
Right.
But it was a good experience.
And we got you got some memories right there in that collage from 1970.
Yeah.
Some of those guys are on there. Dallas Green.
Paul Owens, yeah. Ruley Carpenter.
Boyd Keller. Bowie Kuhn was commissioner back then.
Yes, sir. And the scribes of the Spartanburg Journal.
Right.
And the radio and TV guys.
Pretty awesome.
They were all nice people.
You've had it since back then, or how long have you had that? You even got a message from the mayor of Spartanburg.
Yeah, the mayor of Spartanburg, Bob Stoddard, welcomed me and my family. I had a different minister knock on the door for 3 straight weeks trying to get me to join his church. And I told him, I'm a Hebrew. He says, that's wonderful. You still can come to church.
Yeah.
I said, thank you very much. Would you like to come in and have a cup of coffee? You know, buy a few tickets to see the Spartanburg Phillies play? I mean, I got along pretty much with everybody except the skipper, Howie Bedell. And, you know, I had to pull my kid, Matt, as the bat boy because his language was so bad in the dugout. I mean, he raked these guys. I mean, he was on them like shice on bleep. Let me tell you something. He rode those kids. You know, he had a couple cup of coffees. I think he broke Drysdale's scoreless streak or something. He was a good college buddy of Ruley Carpenter's.
But good memories. And out of that, came the revitalization of Red Berry's baseball world.
Yep, and someday I'd like to tell you how I built my dream through the private, as a private entity, Red Berry's baseball world, for the last 24 of my 46-year camp, how I sold a prospectus, a limited partnership, and raised $900,000 to do it in Kendall. I don't think it'll ever be done in the private sector again. Land is too expensive, but maybe we'll talk about that someday.
Yeah, and then next week we got the author of the book about
danger
in baseball.
Well, we're going to have him in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Danger at the ballpark. Jack Herskowitz will be with us. So, yes, sir.
Yeah. You want to plug the baseball forum one more time before we close it out?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Miami Baseball Forum meets at Duffy Sports Bar, 8575 Southwest 124th Avenue. We sit down for lunch at 12 noon. Everybody buys their lunch, and then we have special guests. Our first guest panel will be Charlie Green, Steve Hertz, and me talking about our experiences in pro baseball. And it'll be very interesting. And you can email me at berries11@comcast.net and put you on the email list. We have about 550 people that are active. Love right to on. Have you.
That'd be awesome.
And you're going
and we're
to
gonna, yeah, I'm going to be there, and then we're going to do a live show from the venue, from Duffy's.
And Grant Miller will make an appearance.
Yep, yeah, he's been known to show up uninvited.
The entrepreneur.
That's
and
right.
And the co-owner of Fabulous Community Newspapers.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, they have a complex here. They got more studios than Carter's got little liver pills.
That's it. So I'll tell you what, no game tonight, 6 a.m. tomorrow, Team USA versus Israel. I'm cheering for us. I don't know about you, Red.
Yes, but, sir. Yes, sir.
It should be a good game. And then we come back again. The Yankees are coming to town tomorrow for a weekend series. I have a feeling we're going to get to see Garrett Cole.
What about the big left-handed hitter from the Rangers is supposed to be with him?
Yep.
Joey, what's his name?
You know who I mean.
They need a left-handed bat.
Yep, they're going to be – I think they're going to make a run at it. Think they're too far back?
Yeah.
How many games back right
maybe
now?
Maybe a wild card. You know, the Yankees right now are 53 and 47. They're about nine back. They're seven, you know, as far as the wild card goes, Oakland's 553 and Tampa Bay's 594. The Yankees are playing 525 ball. So
right.
Who knows? They've broken a lot of people's hearts.
Yep. Yep, and I tell you what, it'd be sweet, still be sweet to take a couple off the boys from you know, the Bronx.
Yeah,
and there'll be a lot of fans for sure.
Yeah, I wish he would use Anthony Bender closing.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, for sure. But we'll be back. We'll be back next week on Tuesday at 2. Same show, same bat channel, same bat station, my friend.
Yes, sir. We look forward to it, and. Thank you, Tommy.
You got it,
buddy.
It's a
pleasure to be with you.
All right. No game tonight for the Marlins. We'll be back tomorrow against the Yankees, but let's take a Team USA win tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Go Fish, episode 101 in the books.
Thank you.